Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, When Little is Much. Based on 1 Kings 17, but the verses just before the verses that were read today. Listen to these verses. The story about Elijah and the widow. And Elijah said to her, Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of bread and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. I invite you to turn your worship folder over and find on that insert the sermon outline as we consider our theme, When Little is Much. Some years ago, I found this article in the newspaper. It was a beautiful story. A local work crew had been ordered to remove some trees in a certain town to make room for the expansion of a road. But as they were about to begin the job, the foreman and some of his workmen noticed a robin's nest high in one of the center trees. A mother robin was sitting upon her new eggs. The eggs hadn't hatched yet. The foreman told his men to leave that tree alone and attend to the others and eventually get back to it. Well, a couple of days passed and they discovered the nest was now filled with wide-mouthed little baby robins just chirping. A beautiful sight. And again, they left the tree alone. Returning some time later, they found the nest was empty. The little family had grown and flown away. But something caught the eye of a workman in that nest. And in the nest he found a soiled little white card. And when he cleaned off the mud and the sticks, he discovered it was a white little Sunday school card. And the card in the bottom of that robin's nest read this way. We may be little, but we trust in a big God. Today, we're going to talk about faith. We're going to talk about trust in God, and we'll soon learn that especially in the realm of faith, little is much when God is in it. In today's Old Testament reading from 1 Kings 17, we see that God had commanded the prophet Elijah to leave a quiet and secure way of living to go to a village called Zarephath. Zarephath was a village on the Mediterranean Sea near the large city of Sidon. The Sidonians were ancient enemies of Israel. They worshipped the despicable false god Baal. In fact, this area was the stronghold of their entire religion and the capital city of their evil king. A lesser man would have refused such an assignment, but not Elijah. Why? Because as we shall soon learn, little is much when God is in it. 1 Kings 17, 8-9 reads this way. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Arise, Elijah, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. Elijah did just that. Now, it seems so simple and straightforward, but as we'll soon learn, it was very tough. But Elijah obeyed God. And oh, that more of us today would do the same thing. Elijah did such a little thing. He just obeyed God what he knew God wanted of him. And this little thing became a great thing in a short time. Elijah would learn that God is trustworthy, and God would take care of him and his future. Did you hear that, any of you? God will take care of us. And our future. Elijah would learn what we are going to learn today. Little is much when God is in it. This surely is a good word for each of us today. Because our Lord is calling us to a life of trust and obedience. He's inviting us to realize that He is trustworthy. He is worthy of our trust in our present uncertainties, in our uncertain future. Now, my friends, obviously I cannot name all the uncertainties you're facing. But you and your God knows what comes to your mind as I'm speaking these words. Whatever that might be for you this morning, be reminded of that truth of the old gospel hymn that says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." Now, it may seem like a little thing, but Elijah learned, and so will we, little is much when God is in it. Elijah went to the village of Zarephath, where God assured him there'd be a widow there to take care of him. Verse 10 of our text says, "So he arose and went to Zarephath, and behold, a widow was there gathering sticks." We'll find out why in just a minute. He called and said to her, "Please bring me a little water that I may drink." The fact that a widow was there, that God had promised Elijah, probably brought Elijah a little comfort. Because Elijah knew the strict and ancient traditions about widows. You did not impose upon these unfortunate people, who often were alone and poor and had no one to take care of them. To impose upon a widow would bring both the wrath of God and man. Elijah likely knew the words of Exodus 22, which read, "You shall not mistreat any widow. If you do and they cry out to me, I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will burn against you, says the Lord." It seemed that Elijah had been placed by God in a tough, if not unfair, situation. This lady, this widow, was living in a time of drought, a time of no rain. Rain hadn't come for some time to that land, and it made her difficult life even more difficult. And to top all of that, Elijah likely felt somewhat responsible for the drought. Why? As God's prophet and spokesman, before he went to this widow, Elijah had declared God's judgment upon these people who had turned their back on the true God and followed the despicable false god Baal, to whom they were sacrificing even their own children. God's judgment came in a time of drought, no rain, a condition to drive them to repentance. And now in this time of hardship that Elijah had a hand in, he was commanded to live off this widow's meager food and water. Elijah had to make sure he was doing what God wanted him to do and was not doing it for any other reason. My friends, you know, I realize that it's much too easy for each of us to move through life making decisions based on our own selfish desires and inclinations. It's much easier to make decisions based on "my will be done" rather than "thy will be done." As God's people, were called to examine our priorities and decisions to establish they're in harmony with God's will and not just catering to our own selfish desires. Let me ask you this morning, might there be in your life right now a decision you have to make? God wants to guide you and invite you, as He did Elijah, to ask for guidance, and then, as the hymn says, to trust and to obey. When Elijah found the widow of Zarephath, she was gathering sticks. Why was she doing that? Because by this time in her life, she was too poor to buy heating and cooking fuel from any dealers in the village. So she went outside the walls of the village to gather sticks to burn. Elijah's drought had done its worst. She and her son were desperate, down to their last hope. And now Elijah appears, burned by the desert sun, dry and thirsty, and he's asking her for some of her precious water. It must have been humiliating for Elijah to ask her. Because for a man in that culture to ask such a favor of a strange woman was just not done. But Elijah obeyed God. It may seem like a little thing, but God would do something great with it. You see, you've heard me say it, and I'll say it again. Little is much when God is in it. From this little act of obedience would come an abundance for the widow, for her son, and for Elijah. Elijah, though, was likely reluctant to ask her for any help. Now, look in a mirror with me this morning, won't you? Each of us, too many of us today, try to go it alone. To admit we need help from somebody else is seen too often to be a sign of weakness. But God is teaching us and Elijah that as we desire to receive His guidance and strive to obey Him, we can and we should lean on others God has placed in our lives. My friends, your Lord has put others in your lives to stand with you in time of need. Especially your brothers and sisters in Christ and your pastor, the church, the body of Christ. That's why God has placed us in this family. You don't have to go it alone. Let me say that again for any of you who might be struggling these days. You don't have to go it alone. We read from our sermon text, and as she was going to get water, Elijah said to her, "Please also, besides water, bring to me some bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour, a little oil in my jar, and I'm going for a few sticks of wood that I can go prepare it for me and my son that we might eat it and then die." What was she saying? "I've given up. I have little help for God's help. Don't ask me for anything, Elijah. This is a case in which little is little, and nothing good can come from it." Could this sound familiar in your life today? Perhaps you're tempted at times to respond like this when yet another need or demand comes your way. When someone comes to you wanting some of your precious bread and your precious water, you may protest, as did this widow, "There's just not enough time. I don't have enough strength. There aren't enough financial resources for the both of us." You're tempted to say with the widow, "Now is a time when little is little, and I don't know if I can trust God to help me with all of these needs." This was not the case with Elijah. Elijah refused to let the widow's cloudy view obscure his view of what God could do. He knew that God had sent him to this widow. He knew that God had sent him to Zarephath. He knew that God would help him through this time of drought. Now, if you have tuned out at any time during the sermon, now is the time to tune in. Look at your sermon outline. Look at the second point. Elijah learned what we will learn today, and here it is. God does not embarrass those who put their confidence in Him. Would you read that out loud and say it with me? God does not embarrass those who put their confidence in Him. Is this not one of the central truths? Is this not one of the central truths that we see when we see our Lord Jesus hanging upon that holy cross? Even as our Lord was dying there for the sins of the world, even as our Lord there was paying for your sins and paying for mine, He was struggling. He was struggling physically, to be sure. Can you imagine The pain of the crucifixion? He was struggling physically, to be sure. But he was also struggling spiritually. As he bore the heavy, heavy weight of the sins of the world, and as for a moment his heavenly Father turned away against the wrath of the sin of this world, he cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" At this moment, though he knew all of this was a part of God's eternal plan, Jesus was in a physical and a spiritual pain we can't even imagine. And all that he was doing there, he was doing for you and for me because he loved us so. He was facing the powers of sin and death and hell for you and for me, and yet he was struggling. And in the midst of his struggling, yet once again, he publicly declared his trust in his Father in heaven when he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, and it is finished." Even before, did you catch it? Even before his wonderful Easter resurrection victory, Jesus tells all those who were present and tells us today what Elijah tells us today. God does not embarrass those who put their confidence in him. We read what comes next in our text. Then Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and make some bread for yourself and your son and me. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour will not run out, nor will the jar of oil be empty until the day the Lord God sends rain upon this earth." How could Elijah make such a declaration? Only because he had learned through the school of hard knocks that God is faithful. And God's faithfulness gave Elijah faith. And trusting obedience came as a natural result. You see, faith and obedience go hand in hand. Faith leads us to obedience. And our obedience strengthens our faith. How does the story of Elijah and the widow end? In this verse, it says, "So she did as Elijah said, and she and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour did not run out. The jar of oil did not become empty, according to the word of the Lord spoken to her through Elijah the prophet." Wow. This is such a simple text. She simply trusted God, obeyed him, and God provided. How about that? It seems like such a little thing. But here's a principle from Holy Scripture. You've heard it a dozen times. You'll hear it at least twice more in this sermon. Little is much when God is in it. It's never the size of our faith that's to be our focus. It's not the size of my little hand trying to grasp my big Father's hand. It's the size of our God, the largeness of his love, the largeness of his faithfulness, the largeness of his willingness to provide for his beloved children. Remember the opening story about the little robins in the tree? Remember what it said in that Sunday school card found in the bottom of their nest? I tell it to you again. We may be little, but we trust in a big God. So today we joyfully trust God and obey him in both little and big ways. And we will learn, little is much when God is in it. In the name of Jesus, amen.